This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Before I jump into the part that I want to speak about this morning, I want to remind you guys and pick up from where we stopped last week. We ended off the sermon, for those of you that weren't here, with a statement that Belen made. Well, not Belen made. She shared the statement with you of what someone made, okay? So it says, it is only when we understand our heritage in Christ that we can know what our life in Christ looks like and how it works. It is only when we understand our heritage in Christ that we know that we can know what our life in Christ looks like and how it works. She then went on to show between Ephesians 1 to 3 and 4 to 6, you'll see the image coming on soon to your theater. So in Ephesians, I don't know whether I'm standing here, because now I'm standing in front of you, Sifa, and when I walk this, so I'm just going to stand still, so at least you can get your place. So in Ephesians, we find Ephesians being put together by two parts, chapter 1 to 3 and chapter 4 to 6, where we see on chapter 1 to 3 the doctrinal part, explaining to us our position in Christ. Please go listen to that message again. It will really bless your heart. But the important part I want us to focus on for this morning is the fact that the first part has to do with the root, our hearts. What is going on in our hearts? What do I believe? What do I hear from God? What is the truth that He is busy building into me? And then the second part, chapters 4 to 6, parts that we were speaking about for quite a while now already, speaking about the works, the practical parts. Our life in the world, our attitude towards the enemy, and then on the other part, the fruit, the works. Something starts somewhere. Everything starts somewhere. Whatever we do, whatever we speak, however we act, it flows from somewhere. So Belen shared last week that whenever we see certain fruit in our lives, there's a disconnect somewhere. She specifically mentioned that there are two specific things that holds us back with regards to habitual sin. I'm not going to say what those are, so you can go listen to that again. See if you can find it. Maybe we must do an online quiz, Angela. But she mentioned specifically two things that might be the culprits when we battle to get rid of habitual sin in our life. Battle to get rid of certain fruit that we are busy experiencing. When I prepared about, when I listened to that sermon again, and when I thought about this morning, I felt, Lord, but we need help. We need help. Why? Because there's often a disconnect between our hearts and our works. Even though when we as Christians believe that God comes and He does a miraculous work in our heart. He comes and He comes saves us. Comes and He comes set us free. Come fill us with His Spirit. We anticipate that there would be an outflow. There would be something coming from our hands. Instead, when we look at our hands, when we look at what we do, when we look at our lives, we often see something coming out of us that doesn't align with my heart. I don't know whether this also happened to you sometimes, but I would often stand and say something and think, I don't believe that. Does it only happen to me? Okay. Whenever I do something, sometimes I look at what I'm busy with and I'm thinking, why did I just do that? Where does that come from? And it's almost as if I'm thinking, I'm just one person. So it should make sense that when something's in my heart, that thing should come out. That thing should be able to be done through me. Instead, I see myself almost like a wave. So now I'm thinking, okay, so what do I do with this? And I want to share something vulnerable with you guys this morning. When Belen and myself were ministering in Witbank, we got to hear a message of grace in a way that we've not heard it before. The salvation message that Belen shared with us last week, we heard it there for the first time in such a way, to such an extent that we realized we cannot add to our salvation. Now that's already a kind of a hard thing to grasp. Like, we kind of always feel responsible to a certain extent. You know, whenever you give someone a gift, they'll easily say, okay, now but can't I give something in return? It's really hard sometimes to convince someone, yes, you can, say thank you. If you want to give something, say thank you. Often when we receive a gift, we kind of feel this responsibility to add something. So we heard this message of salvation, this gospel, this beautiful gospel, the good news. By the way, if someone preaches a gospel that doesn't sound like good news, it's probably not the gospel. It's important to say that to each other this morning, because we listen to many gospel stories, many gospel testimonies, and at the end you feel condemned, you feel judged, and you feel you have no idea how to go on from there. When you hear a gospel like that, just know it's a partial gospel. The true gospel is a gospel of hope. It's a gospel of life. It's a gospel that will set you free. Free to sin? Free to sin? Free to sin?
No.
Free to follow Him from a new identity. So we heard this gospel. So we were a very newlywed couple, and I heard this gospel. You cannot add anything, so I decided I won't. Now, for those of you that know me, whenever I receive a message and I respond on that message, I respond with boldness and with obedience. So I responded to that doing nothing message that I perceived as that, and I responded by doing nothing, and it almost cost us our marriage. And I was so confused because someone said, you need to do something, and I'm like, what do you mean? You convinced me this whole time I can't do anything, I can't add anything, I can't, you know, bring something, and now you're saying, no, but you have to bring something. And I'm like, I'm so confused. So I grabbed hold of that truth, and it needed God to break that open to me. At that time, it was from a place of deep hurt between us in our marriage, something that we really had to deal with. So as we prayed through this, thinking about understanding my position in Christ and then seeing the works flow from me, for me personally, there was a disconnect because I didn't allow the whole truth to come and to settle in my heart. So because we were busy with Ephesians, especially 1 to 3 and then 4 to 6, I thought to myself, Lord, how amazing would it be if Paul would say something about this? And guess what? He did. So for those of you that, like me, are new to faith, or maybe new to the idea of following Jesus freely, but seeing certain fruit in your life that you can't trace back to your heart, this morning is for you. So let's read Scripture. Just so you know, right up to verse 14 in Ephesians 3, if you go read it, you'll see it's very doctrinal. When we get to Ephesians 4, the first verse of Ephesians 4 starts with walk. Walk worthy of the manner that you were called with. So between verse 13 and verse 1 of chapter 4, something happened. Paul prayed. So amazing. After writing the first three chapters of Ephesians, before going on to the work part, the fruit part, he prayed. And we're going to speak about that prayer this morning, because I feel invited to pray that with Paul, and I want to invite you to come pray that with me this morning. Is that good? Pumza, I'm so happy you are in this with me. Let's read Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. What a prayer. What a prayer by someone who just wrote, this is what we need to believe. As before we discuss this, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this word. Thank you for opening up this word to us. Thank you for helping us to understand. Thank you that you come and you bring light, you bring life, you bring healing, you bring restoration. You come restore. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to work through this portion, if that's okay with you. And I just know that as we go through this, you are going to find something that you specifically link with. Because somewhere in this prayer, we have something that we can identify with. Maybe all, but to a certain extent, one a bit more. And I think it varies from stage of life to stage of life. Let's go through this. So firstly, we see Paul saying, there's a posture. Ephesians 3 verse 14, he says, For this reason I bow my knees. What's this reason? For the reason of everything that was just said. It's something that's mentioned here in Ephesians 3 verse 14, but it's also something that's mentioned in Ephesians 3 verse 1. It's also something that's mentioned earlier in Ephesians. Every now and then they say, for this reason. So we see something happening and then they say, for this reason. So for the reason of everything that God just said, I bow my knee. I have to bow my knee. If I raise myself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it cannot come to fulfillment in me. I need to bow my knee. I'm bowing my knee to your truth. Before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So I, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You are named. You have been called by your name. We had the privilege this morning of praying through one of the security guards here this morning. And when he introduced himself by a name. And somewhere through this, I just felt in my heart to ask him, what's your name? Because he already said his name, but I felt to ask him, what's your name? And he said a different name. And I asked him, why don't you use your name? He's like, no, I'm just used to use my surname. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, use your name. His name, he had to think really hard, but his name's definition means chief of his people. Can you understand why the enemy would not want him to be called that? Can you understand why the enemy would not want you to know that you have been called by name? Receive your name. Receive the fact that the Heavenly Father called you by name. He said your name. You are His. It not only speaks about authority and position, but it speaks about where you belong. When a dad calls his child by name, he also speaks over them, you belong to me. The second thing we see in this prayer, Paul speaking about, is position. Ephesians 3 verse 16. That, just know this is not two separate thoughts, it's something that's flowing into each other. We read in verse 15, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named that. You are named that. Okay? It's not two separate thoughts. You are named, you have been called, you know your position, you know where you belong. That, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We've seen this in the message, especially that Belen shared last week. Not that we have been saved through works, or Christ dwell in us because we do well, but through faith. According to the riches of his glory. It's so interesting when you go to a dictionary or go to something explaining that specific portion of scripture, it responds by saying, not according to the narrowness of your heart. It doesn't go into the greatness of God, and we will see in a short while why. But it goes into the narrowness of our heart. We belong to him by whom we are called by our name, to who we belong according to the riches of his glory, not my understanding of my narrowness of mind, that he may grant me to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in your inner being. Now, your inner being, when you come to salvation, gets called to life, gets revived. You get strengthened through his Spirit in your inner being. Now, there's a difference between your inner being and your outer being, like Belen shared last week, between your spirit and your soul. There's a difference. So you get strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, your inner man, the hidden man of the heart. It's something that stands in contrast to your old man. It's not as if it's a filter. By his Spirit, we get strengthened in our inner man, becoming a greater revelation in us, and almost to an extent pushing out the old man. Therefore, we will continuously see certain things flowing from us. Why? Because it's being pushed out of us. By the strengthening of his Spirit, that's doing a great work in us. If we do not understand this, we are looking at what's coming through our hands, taking our focus off of the strengthening in my inner man, putting my focus on what's coming out of me, and then deviating from the strengthening of his Spirit, focusing on the things that wants to break me down and wants to tear me down. The more I focus on this, the more I become this. The more I focus on him strengthening my inner man, Spirit, I get to see how he heals, how he restores, how he takes things out of me that should not be there. So what do we do with those things? We confess those things. When? As soon as possible. Why? Because the longer I walk with that, the greater is the possibility of that taking hold of me again. And then the whole thing has to start all over again. We now again need the conviction from the Holy Spirit in our inner man to let certain things go. And we again will have then the choice to say, Lord, I let this go. Continue to strengthen me through your Spirit so that these things can be taken from me, so that it will flow out. It reminds me of a of an old leaf I once saw on a tree, and I could see 80% of the tree still already had new leaves on. But there was this one leaf, almost like that one mosquito in winter, right? In Afrikaans, you say that bitter einder. It's something that he just holds on for dear life. Or I will not go. This winter will not win me. I will be the last one to suck your blood. I will fight for my life to the end. Okay. So that leaf was hanging on for dear life there to that tree, and his time was finished. And it was as if the Holy Spirit drew my attention to that, and I felt, Lord, what is this leaf doing? The season is finished. And he's like, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, some old leaves have to be pushed out by the new one. Some old leaves will not just fall off. In our walk with Christ, you will be miraculously set free from things. During worship, during intercession, during prayer time, during listening to the word, you will be set free just by sitting here. You might be healed this morning just to hear that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, strengthening you. But there is some of those old leaves that has to be pushed out by the new. When that happens, don't focus on that. Let it go. Quick. Very quick. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Faith that opens our hearts to Jesus. The third thing we see so beautifully mentioned in Ephesians 3 verse 17, he says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you look at those words, rooted and grounded, the word grounded in the Greek is the founder. That word is actually also used when they are speaking about the foundation of a building. So in these two words, rooted and grounded, you find both of the symbolic things that we see in Scripture, us being a tree and us being a building. But as we are a tree, we are being rooted in Him, in love. As the building, we are grounded in our foundation on Christ. So it doesn't matter from what symbolic view you look or from what image that Jesus used, you find the fact that we are rooted and grounded in love. May have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth. Here, the word breadth speaks about the worldwide love of Jesus, something that's not confined to a certain space. Something that for us is not necessarily a new thing, but throughout the ages was quite hard, because for a time they could only worship in certain spaces. They could only worship in the temple. They could only worship at a certain mountain. For us, we've heard it over so many times that we can pray anywhere, and still, I'm at the security guards now. One of the previous weeks, I'm reminded now, I sat down with the security guard and he said, I feel so bad because I can't attend the service. And I'm like, you know you can pray in the security booth, right? And he's like, no, I didn't. So maybe you are sitting here this morning and you are feeling there's a greater revelation of Jesus at the gatherings, or he's more active, or he's more alive. Whenever I come together with the believers, He's also with you when you are alone, irrelevant of where you are. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Can we receive that this morning? Worldwide love of Jesus. The length of this love, extending through the ages. It's not a single period in time that's separated from the love of Jesus. It extends through all the ages. The height, it's so interesting when you read this word and you go to the definition of this word, you see one of the commentaries that's world renowned says, it's beyond the reach of any foe to deprive us of. Not the lowest depression or the greatest height can separate us from this love. It's beyond the reach of any foe to deprive us of. There were times when I went through a spiritual battle and I almost felt insecure to pray out loud because I didn't want the demons to hear. I didn't want the devil to hear. Maybe sometimes in your life you also feel what I need to say to God now is so vulnerable to me that I feel I can't even say it out loud because just now someone hears it and someone can abuse it and someone can use it against me. His love is there. His love is there to protect. The depth speaks about the profound wisdom we have in God. To know the love, now this is a great paradox in Scripture. Verse 19 says, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It's amazing how we look at to know the love. So actually what you know is what you don't know. I know the love, and just when I think I know it, there's something of God's love that just breaks my mind. That just breaks open my concept of who He is. Just when we think we know Him, there's something of that knowledge that just fades away in the new experience of who He is. That surpasses knowledge. We will never know His love adequately. We can therefore continuously be renewed in getting to know His love. Understanding His love. Filled with the fullness of God. This is quite interesting. The Greek word there means filled even unto all the fullness of God. Filled. Filled even unto all the fullness of God. That means it's not only His fullness, but that fullness fills me. Even unto all the parts of me. You know, sometimes we experience God's guidance and God's leading in certain areas of our lives so greatly, and we just feel this part is just working. This fullness of God, something that's coming from Him, is so great that it fills even unto all the different spaces of my heart when I allow it to fill me in that way. Divine wisdom, divine knowledge, divine love, even as God is full. Now, that's not even something that we can fathom. When we pray, Lord, help us, we don't even understand the fullness of God that is dwelling in us and that wants to fill us to capacity. And you might need that this morning. The last point before we pray, our source. Verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the last part that Paul prays. Just before he goes on to, now I need to open my eyes and I need to start walking in this. This is the last part that we need to understand. We will go through this quickly just before we start praying. But this is the part that he emphasizes. There's actually some of the commentaries that says this is the pinnacle of Ephesians 1, 2, 3. The pinnacle of this lies in this specific sentence. Now to Him who is able. Why? Otherwise I think I'm able. To Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Ask or think. Sometimes We think something and then we ask it. And sometimes we think something and we're not even willing to ask it. And sometimes there's some things that we don't even think. He is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think. According to meaning this is where it's coming from. It doesn't stem from me. According to the power at work within us through the Spirit. This power is the Holy Spirit. To Him be the glory. Where? In the church. To Him be the glory in the church. As a church, we need to understand this and we need to live this. Why? Because the church was the building and the vehicle that He chose to reveal Himself through. He's not going to do it in another way. If we do not receive this word and we sit in the posture and the position and the impartation and the source of who He is, we will as a church not reveal Him. The fullness, the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And this scripture gets linked to Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It's not on the board. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. You know, we can pray what we think. Sometimes we battle with that. But we cannot pray what we do not think. But the Spirit can. That's why sometimes we pray in the Spirit. That's why sometimes we don't even have the words. We just pray in the Spirit. Why? Because we don't know what to pray. But by God's grace, He comes, He strengthens us. He brings up in us, through His power, this revelation, and we start praying, driving out everything that's not from Him. While we keep our focus on Him, He brings together in His glory, in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The next verse after this says, now, let's walk in a manner worthy of this calling. Us, church, understanding that according to Him, we are being set free. We are being called to a life. Being strengthened through His Spirit in our inner being. Not something that's deposited in us as we need. Not running empty and then becoming full again. But through the strengthening of His Spirit in us, responding, revealing Him. His power, His glory in the church and in Christ forever and ever. And then we walk. Amen. And then we walk. Maybe some of us will crawl. I've seen, you know, when I grew up, I thought babies all do the same thing. You know, they all crawl and then eventually they all stand up and then, you know, against something and then from the mommy to the daddy's hands or the other way around, they start stumbling. And then, you know, the one to the other. But recently I see babies does this bum crawling thing. Else didn't do that. It's okay if you do that. We will still love you. But from this point, as a church family, irrelevant of how old or how young you are in the faith, whether you are crawling on your bum, whether you are doing a leopard crawl, and someone has to kind of hold a plaything there for you to to go for that and just, you know, every time reach just a bit closer. We will love each other to maturity in Jesus as we go from there. So this morning I need you to think, and I want you to respond. I want you to respond in your spirit. As you feel the Holy Spirit stir in your heart something, I want you to close your eyes for a moment and just see yourself. I'm going to go through just the main headings this morning. Firstly, Lord, we've heard great testimonies. We've heard great teaching, not only over the past few months, but in our lives, we've heard great teaching. But we never got to this point where we bow our knees because of it. If this morning you feel, I need to bow my knees. Something in me is trying to elevate it against the knowledge of Christ. You can do it physically if you want to this morning. You can do it in your heart, but I want you to respond. I want you to respond this morning saying, Lord, I bow my knee. I bow my knee before you, Father, because you have called me by name. If you have not heard the voice of the Father saying your name, bow with us this morning. Respond. Father, we need you to say our name. We need to know where we belong. We need to know that we belong, and we need to know to who we belong.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.